I lose sight of that purpose, and I thank Him for bringing me back why we're here. It's not this building. God didn't build this building. You built this building for yourself because you didn't want to sit on the ground when it's raining. And so you built it. God didn't put this carpet in here or them padded pews. You put that on there for your backside, not the Lord's. And I appreciate the lesson. And that's the only thing that concerns the Lord, is His gospel. And if anything don't glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, throw it in the trash can, it ain't worth having. Matthew chapter, I'm going to bring in 26. And I said 26, I'm sorry, 27. And after Robbie's lesson, I got to preach what I'm going to preach. No, I was going to preach this anyway. That's what I've been thinking about. I want you to look in verse 15. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner, whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Now that word notable, I looked that up, it's a notorious. Some of the early historians, Josephus and some of them, this man would be like our 30s, whatever, gangsters. This man was against the Roman government. He was notorious in his crimes. He was a murderer. He was a thief, a robber. He stole, he tried to overthrow that power. He was the ringleader, so to speak, that was against all of that. But anyway, they had locked him up. Verse 16 again. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you? Barabbas, or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. They were jealous of him. He knew more than they did. He showed them up. And anyway, verse 19. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. And the governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And I'm not going to read the rest of it, but anyway, Pilate washes his hands. Jesus Christ, verse 25, then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and our children. And they then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him. Now you have to realize that when they talk about stripping him, a prisoner, he didn't have no clothes on. He's standing there, bloody mess. He'd been whipped. And they strip him. Wouldn't that be humiliating? I would think it would be, wouldn't you? They're doing this to the Son of God. Verse 29. And when they had planted a crown of thorns, or they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had planted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit upon him, and took the reed and smote him on his head. And after that, they had mocked him. After that, they had mocked him. They took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to be crucified. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. The cross of Barabbas. They didn't make that cross. Pilate didn't make that cross for the Lord. He had made that cross for Barabbas. That crown of thorns was the result of the curse that was put on this earth. When Adam sinned, God cursed the ground. Thorns and thistles it would bring forth. God is let him become a curse. The Lord, the Father, that's his son there. It's like God allowing this to happen. It just blows my mind to think that the Father, how about you fathers in here? Would you stand by and watch that to your son without you doing anything? I mean, could you watch people take your son and you had the power to stop them? You had the way to stop them. You'd watched your son, as Robbie talking about when he's 12. That's God's son, a father's son. Watched him grow, protected him. When he could not protect himself as a baby, while the angels would come to his mother and his so-called Joseph and tell, "Go here, go there, don't go there." Because people was trying to kill him. Satan was trying to destroy the seed. Satan was trying to overthrow God by having Jesus Christ, the seed of God, killed. Why do you think Herod went back 2 years and had all the male children from 2 years old back slain, trying to get rid of the seed of the woman? He knew more than what this world knew. He knew who he was. When Jesus Christ went up on that mount after he was baptized, who came to him? Satan. Why? John the Baptist has been baptizing all along. But John the Baptist made an announcement. Behold, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. Don't you think Satan didn't hear it? Oh, there he is. And the adversary met him. And there he was tempted. God didn't do nothing. And there they bring him on. And Satan finally got the upper hand. He's going to kill him. And they strip him. As though you'd come down through here. And we drag you in here in this congregation and strip you naked and beat you and make fun of you and mock you and ridicule you. That's what they did to our Savior. And God allowed it. Why? In order to save you. In order for you to have forgiveness. And why wouldn't you want to tell people about a Savior like that? But I want you to look at Barabbas. Barabbas is a type of every person in this room. I want you to see something about him. Turn over to Mark and look in Mark. In Mark chapter 15. Notice Mark 15. Notice this guy, Mark 15, verse 7. And there was one named Barabbas, which laid bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. Verse 10, for he knew that the chief priest had delivered him, Christ, for envy. But the chief priest moved upon the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. That's the chief priest. That's the religious system. That's the religious people. That's the people that wanted people to behold and think they're religious, think they're godly. And the Lord was delivered. But he committed murder. Look in Luke. In Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. Notice in verse 18. This man Barabbas, he was something. He not only was a leader, a notorious criminal. He would be the kind Joel and Brock and all them, Greg, all them be after. He'd be the catch, man. I guarantee this dude would have been on the 10 most wanted. But look at him. Verse 18, they cried out all at once, saying, away with this man and release unto us Barabbas. Isn't that something that the people with the religious system, who they'd want? And he said, for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison. He's a murderer. He's a criminal. Look over in John chapter 18. John chapter 18. In John 18 verse 40. Then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. So he's a thief. He robbed people. He robbed places. He killed people. He was a ringleader of an insurrection and stirred up people against the authority and the government. And he's sitting in prison for the crimes that he had done. He's chained in prison. He can't get out. He can't save himself. There's nothing he can do to make himself innocent because he's guilty. So it is with you. So it was with me. And if you're saved, it was with you too. All the saved, all the lost in here. Your crimes is not with the government of the flesh of this world, but your crimes is with the authority and the government of God Almighty. We are sinners. And just because you're saved don't make you non-sinner. You're just a saved sinner. And we need a Savior. And God let His Son go through all that He let Him go through so that the means of your salvation, so He could save you. I think about that temple. If I drew the temple in the wilderness, and it would be out here, would be like the outer. This would be skins they wove together, and some of the boringest reading you'll read in your Bibles when they're putting this temple together. The sockets and the fillets and the skins and the rings and the sockets and the 20 sockets here and 20 sockets there and 20 cubits and by 20, all and on and on. And you think you're reading through that and you think, Lord, have mercy. How am I going to, you know. Well, that's what all he's talking about. And they're put together and they're put together and they had their post and all this is skins out here. Then you come in here, and then there's another like a tent. And by the way, this is west. Do you realize that God always set the back end west? You come to God east to west in that day. Do you know how, you know what way, if you wanted to find the Lord today, I'm talking about if you wanted to look in His direction today, it'd be south to north. Because where he's at now is north. But anyway, there was another temple in here. A little badger skins dyed red and all this in here. And then across here, leave that like a little A, but it was closed. You would have in here, it'd be like an ark of the testimony. They'd be cherubim. And there would be their own top. And I'm no artist. But you'd have a candlestick over here. And that thing had to be lit. On this side had been a table. And there would have been six rows of bread. Loaves of bread over here. 3, 4, 5, 6. And each one represented the children of Israel, tribe. When you came into this thing, and this would be like east back here, the first thing you would see would be an altar. First First time you ever come to the Lord, if people wanted to come in here to get to God, the first thing that had to be dealt with was their sin. The first thing that they saw when they walked in there was the altar. Back here would have been a laver full of water for the washing of the priest. When Moses talked to God, Moses stood here. This is called the Holies of Holies. This is the holy place. No Gentile could come into there. It would be death. But the priest worked, and if the children of Israel would offer, they'd come here. Do you realize the height of this? If you looked straight into there, do you know what you would see? You would look right under there, and if you had to open all the way through there, when you saw this sacred altar and the fire, you'd be looking right straight at the mercy seat. What is that all about, folks? That's your salvation. There's nobody can be saved today without first looking at the sacrifice. You can't get to God without sacrifice. Your sins had to be dealt with. And God dealt with your sins on Calvary's cross, and there the sacrifice was made, and you wasn't even aware of it. I think about old Barabbas in that cell. Here he is. He's locked up, looking through the bars. I think about maybe him sometime out there could look. Them men in there, he can't get out of the prison house. He's going to his death. So it is with you. How are you going to deal with your sins? How are you going to deal with the fact that you're a sinner? How are you going to deal with the fact that you're going to die one of these days? I know you think you're young, or whether you're young or old, well, I know you think that day's way down the road, but let me tell you, it's a coming. You're going to draw your last breath. And what you've done in this life ain't going to be worth a hill of beans to you. How much money you've got in the bank, how much property you own, how much you think of yourself or your family, it's not going to matter to you when you're laying there and you're gasping for your last breath and all of a sudden it's over. You know what's going to matter? Whether or not you're still in this place here. Because every one of you's in it. How did Barabbas get set free? Because Pilate said he was a good man? No. Because he had power and friends? No. How did he get set free? Because there was one man that took his cross and died in his place. Oh, folks, I want to tell you something. I was in the jailhouse of sin. I was locked up. I could not save myself. I was a religious man. Man, I thought if you chewed gum, you'd go to hell. I mean, folks, that's how religious I was. I mean, I tried to live a life clean as a hound's tooth. Oh, this is wrong, that's wrong, this, that, and all that stuff. Trying to impress God. And if I died, I'd been in hell right now. I've stood and preached. lost. I mean, folks, you come up to me. I had a little old testimony. When I was 16 years old, preacher come back there and he pulled me out in the aisle. And I seen my mama looking at me, so of course I went down the altar. What was I going to tell her when I got back home? Down the altar I went. They gathered around me, prayed. I never prayed. I got up and I said, they said, "You saved?" "Yeah, the Lord saved me." I felt good. You know why I felt good? I did what the people wanted me to do. And I felt relief. Why? They was the ones that was putting pressure on me. But I wasn't saved. And from the time I was 16 till I was 19, I knew I wasn't saved. I was miserable. I was miserable inside. I didn't like myself. Couldn't get along with nobody. I didn't like nobody else because I was miserable. And that night in that hotel room, I came to the end of myself and I seen myself, I'm a sinner. I'm lost. Problem ain't with people. The problem ain't with this or that I was blaming. The problem was with me. I'm lost. And that night, I called on Him. I called on Him as a sinner. I said, "Lord, I'm lost. And I know You died for me." I remember it just like I remember it yesterday. See, if you really say, man, that day is important to you. You might not know the date, but bless your heart, you'll know the day. Something that happens. You get eternal life. You get saved. You get set free. You reckon you could go to old Barabbas back then and say, "Barabbas, how'd you get out?" "Well, golly, I don't know." Do you remember that day, Barabbas, that you got, they set you free? "No, I don't really. I guess it happened. I'm here." It'd be like June come up to me and said, "Do you remember the day we got married?" How about the day? Not the date, Brian. Now, how come? Gosh, I just can't put my finger on it, June. Well, I would expect her, "Well, how do you know you're married?" "Because I'm here." Folks, I'm going to tell you something. You know you're saved because you was there. That relief, that took off of you, that knowing that you're forgiven, that you're have eternal life. The peace. This is where the world is. They're in here. They're in jail. They're in the jail of sin. I was going to put jailhouse, but jail will do. They're in there. They're locked up. They're prisoners. They are. If you're lost, you're a prisoner. You do what Satan wants you to do. He'll put things on you. Just go on and on. You're led by a spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. People don't like that. I don't care whether they like it or not. That's what the Bible says. So, how did Barabbas get out? At a cross. Here's his place. This is where old Barabbas is headed. With all the other thieves and robbers, I believe the Lord was nailed on three crosses. But I believe you could go all around that place and you'd see some more crosses. I was reading in one of the history books or something about the old Roman government. While when they take the prisoners to be crucified, crosses for criminals. That's why they whip them before they nailed them to the cross. You know why? So they wouldn't fight. They beat them half to death. And those weak with blood, losing the blood in the book that I read about. I mean, they'd lost so much blood they was ready to pass out by the time they got them where they was going to put them on the cross. I mean, think about it, folks. That's what He did for you. He became your sacrifice. You don't want justice from God. You want mercy from God. And Jesus Christ was nailed. And they took Him down and hung Him up there, and then they took His clothes off on the cross. And He was made a spectacle. How could you refuse Him now? And all God wants you to do is put your faith in what His Son did. You see, there's two judgments. This world's headed to a judgment. And it's the lake of fire. There's a judgment here. The judgment of God on sin. Now, folks, I won't be a part of this one, don't you? Bless your souls, I don't want to be in here. Do you know where the religious systems of the world are? They're right here. Why? They don't pay no attention to this. And Jesus Christ did it for you and me. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your faith that He died for you. Receive Him as your Savior right now. Where you sit, receive Him as your Savior. Believing that He died for your sins, your crimes against the Lord, your crimes against His nature, against His holiness, against His righteousness, your crimes against Him. You see, folks, the problem with the world today, they don't want this, not they want to be politically correct. They don't want you to pray. You know, it's fascinating to me, this the world today, they can say Muhammad, they can say Allah, they can say Buddha, they can say all of this, but they can't say Jesus Christ. Why is it that they can't say the Lord Jesus Christ? Why is it that somebody can't stand up in our leaders of this country and say the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior? They can say all of this other stuff, but they can't say that. Why is it? Because they want to get rid. It's like Samuel. When the Israel came to Samuel and said, "We want a king." God told Samuel, said, "Go ahead and anoint him. You tell him what kind he's going to be, but Samuel, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me." That's the problem with people today. It ain't they're against you, they're against Him. And if you represent Him, they're going to be against you. Believe on Him. Trust Him. Receive Him. Right now. He's my Savior. I believe He died for me. I trust Him as my Savior. You can put your confidence in Him. He'll never let you down. Thank you for being here. You can go.